Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and we're starting the book of Deuteronomy. It's a wonderful book. It's Deuteronomy means the second law in Greek. That's the Greek title for the word. It is the second giving of the law. It's really a summary and a commentary and an exposition of the law. The Hebrew name for this word, for this book, is Devarim. And Devarim means the words. It's taken from the opening few words of "these are the words that Moses spoke." And so these are the words of Moses, his final addresses to his people before the Lord takes him home and he turns the leadership over to Joshua for the conquest of the promised land. So you see in the ESV here, the little icon graphic illustration they have above Deuteronomy is Moses unfolding the scroll of the law, reading it to them, giving it to them a second time. That explicitly is going to come in Deuteronomy chapter 5, but then teaching them what it means, how to apply it, how to live it. Let's pray. Father, we want to hear your word. We want to keep your word. We want to live your word. So we pray that you on our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 1. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness in the Arabah opposite Suf between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the people of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. After he had defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth and Edrei, beyond the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to explain this law, saying, "The Lord our God said to us in Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey, and go to the hill country of the Amorites, and to all their neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country, and in the lowland, and in the Negev, and by the sea coast, the land of the Canaanites, and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and to their offspring after them. At that time I said to you, 'I am not able to bear you by myself. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are today as numerous as the stars of heaven. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, make you 1,000 times as many as you are, and bless you as he has promised you. How can I bear by myself the weight and burden of you and your strife? Choose for your tribes wise, understanding, and experienced men, and I will appoint them as your heads.' And you answered me, 'The thing that you have spoken is good for us to do.' So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, and set them as heads over you, commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, commanders of fifties, commanders of tens, and officers throughout your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, 'Hear the cases between your brothers, and judge righteously between a man and his brother or the alien who was with you. You shall not be partial in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not be intimidated by anyone, for the judgment is God's. And the case that is too hard for you, you shall bring to me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things that you should do.' Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrifying wilderness you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, 'You have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession, As the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you, do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you came near and said, let us send men before us, that they may explore the land for us, and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up, and the cities into which we shall come. This thing seemed good to me, and I took 12 men from you, one man from each tribe, and they turned and went up into the hill country, and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And they took in their hands some of the fruit of the land, and brought it down to us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt, to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven, and besides, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went before you in the way you seek to seek you, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, in fire by night and in the cloud by day, to show you by what way you should go. And the Lord heard your words and was angered, and he swore, not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his children I will give the land on which he has trodden, because he has wholly followed the Lord. Even with me the Lord was angry on your account, and said, you also shall not go in there. Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And as for your little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your children, who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there. And to them I will give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn and journey into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. Then you answered me, we have sinned against the Lord. We ourselves will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us. And every one of you fastened on his weapons of war and thought it easy to go up into the hill country. And the Lord said to me, say to them, do not go up or fight, for I am not in your midst, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, and you would not listen, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord and presumptuously went up into the hill country. Then the Amorites who lived in that hill country came out against you and chased you as bees do, and beat you down in Seir as far as Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord did not listen to your voice or give ear to you. So you remained at Kadesh many days, the days that you remained there. Well, if you've been following along with us in our reading through the Bible, then a lot of this that Moses tells will be familiar to you. So what's happening here? Well, this is a retelling of the historical background of God's dealings with his people before he gives them the actual law itself. So scholars have recovered ancient treaties that were made between peoples or between kings and their peoples, and they identified that there are several sections generally to these treaties, these agreements, binding covenant agreements between rulers and their people or between different peoples. There's usually a preamble, and we get that in the first five verses of chapter 1, which is telling us who's speaking and where he's speaking and where that is and when it is that he's speaking. Okay, so we get all that. And then you have historical prologue, which is really the rest of chapter 1 through chapter 4. And then at the end of chapter 4 come the general stipulations, and this is going to include, most famously in chapter 5, we're going to get a second announcement of the Ten Commandments. And it's going to continue on from there through the end of chapter 11, giving us the law, giving us the general stipulations, the general guidelines, the more broad principles. And then there are specific stipulations or cases, kind of bringing up, if this happens, this is what you need to do. If that happens, this is what you need to do. And that's going to go from chapter 12 to chapter 26. And then there are blessings and curses, and that's going to go from chapter 27 to chapter 28. And then there's a document clause, which comes at the end, basically tells you about the writing of the document, the sealing of the document, how it came to be, and then the witnesses to that structure. So I'm going to see if I can put this up here, and hopefully you can see that. Yeah, that shows up pretty well. So again, this is the structure of the book of Deuteronomy. So what we're in today in chapter 1 is part of this historical prologue. And what's happening is that Moses is recounting their history. And this is the first part of their history. When God gave them the Ten Commandments, when Moses first appointed elders over the people, you know, the heads of the people over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. And everybody thought that was a good system. But, you know, it's relying on human beings, and human beings are sinful and fallible, so it's not going to be a rock-tight system. Most of chapter 1 is focused on the history regarding the report of the spies and how they went up into the promised land and saw the Lord's hand at work. Sorry, and they saw the good land that the Lord was giving them, but they also saw giants in the land, and they were afraid. So everything they had been through to this point, you have to go again back in your mind to the book of Exodus, everything that they had been through. They had seen the 10 plagues come upon Egypt. Egypt was the most powerful nation in the world at this time. This is before the rise of Babylon, which is going to happen many years later. They're the most powerful civilization in the world. They're going to live to be one of the probably the longest lived powerful civilization in the history of the world. And God completely humbled this great nation of Egypt through 10 plagues that consecutively hit the nation. And then the final plague, the death of the firstborn. And then God had the Israelites come out from among that people laden down with gold and silver that had been given to them by the Egyptians, who said, go, take our jewelry, take our rings, take our necklaces, take our gold, and go. And they went, and then Pharaoh's army pursued them. But Pharaoh's army pursued them for a reason, so that they would again see the powerful deliverance of the Lord. And the Lord worked on their behalf. He parted the Red Sea. You know, the Red Sea, he parted it so that they walked through on dry land. And just when they reached the other side, the Lord closed up the Red Sea and drowned the entire Egyptian army, the most powerful army on the face of the earth, an army that could beat all of the armies of the Canaanites easily. But they were drowned in the Red Sea. And then they saw God provide manna from heaven miraculously day after day, and water from a rock so that they would have something to drink. And then a law that was spoken by the very mouth of God himself out of smoke and thunder on the mountain. They had seen all these things. And yet they said, there are giants in the land. So even though it's a good land, even though it has great produce, even though it's everything God told us it was going to be, it's not like they got to a desert wasteland and said, God promised us a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that would be a good home, and we've come to a wasteland. No, they saw that it was exactly what God promised, but there were giants in the land. There were massive fortified cities reaching up to heaven. There were all of these things, and they said, we can't possibly go up. We can't possibly go up, right? Even though they agreed, it is a good land. but we can't possibly go up. Their hearts were made to melt. And they said, the people are greater and taller than we are. Their cities are great and fortified up to heaven. The sons of the Anakim are there. And even though Moses had said to them, don't be in dread, don't be afraid of them. The Lord your God goes before you. He will fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord has carried you as a man carries his son all the way you went until you came to this place. Yet despite all this, they didn't believe the Lord. They didn't believe the Lord. So God pronounced a curse on them. That entire generation, none of them are going to get into the promised land except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Not even Moses himself. And you might remember the incident there. It's because he struck the rock twice and he sort of took glory for himself. Shall we make water come from this rock for you? So God said, no, Moses, you have taken glory from God and put it on yourself. You've disobeyed the voice of the Lord, so you're not going to get into the promised land either. But people don't like coming under God's judgment. Even today, if you talk to someone about the judgment of God, they don't want to hear it. People want to hear about a God who loves them and a God who thinks they're wonderful, a God who thinks they're just swell the way they are, not a God who has any kind of judgment to offer. So they didn't want to hear this. They confessed, we've sinned, but they said, we're going to go up and fight. Just as God commanded us, we're going to do it now. Too late. Moses says, don't go up. Don't fight. I'm not in you. I'm not in your midst, the Lord says. You're going to be defeated by your enemies. But they thought, all of a sudden, these people who were too great and too tall and too mighty for the Lord to be able to deliver into their hands, so all of a sudden, they're going to be able to go up and do it. No. They got beaten badly. And they came back and they had to stay where they were for many days. What can we get from this? Well, do we really trust the Lord? Do we? Do we really believe what he has promised in his word? Paul says in Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all good things? Do we believe that God is really going to give us all good things? We should, if we believe that he didn't even hold back his son. If he didn't hold back the best, the most precious, the most costly thing he had, his own son, the Lord Jesus, why would he now treat us badly, treat us like orphans, treat us like unwanted children? He's not going to do that to us. Do we trust the Lord? Do we look at the cross of Jesus Christ and see all of God's promises fulfilled, all of God's power upheld, all of God's purposes come to pass, and that strengthens our trust in him so that today and tomorrow and the next day we walk in obedient faithfulness to him? Or do we disconnect the cross from our lives and we say, well, he did that 2,000 years ago, but today I can't trust him? I think that's the call for us today. Do we trust the Lord? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. We're just like the Israelites. We've seen your hand. How many times have you provided for us exactly what we needed? How many times have you gotten us out of trouble? How many times have you given us good gifts? And yet we doubt you so quickly and so readily. And we're tempted to trust in ourselves, think that we can make it happen. Oh, Father, forgive us and help us to walk by faith and not by sight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me for Deuteronomy 1. Tomorrow we'll plan to be in Deuteronomy 2. Have a blessed day in the Lord.